It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Lately, it's hard to do the news because it's hard to tell what's news and what belongs in that old Ripley's Believe It or Not. In New Jersey, an escaped criminal escaped from ICE, tried to turn himself back in, but New Jersey refused to take him back because they are a sanctuary state. You can't make this stuff up. Well, I guess some people can make this stuff up, like the people who work for the Biden administration, making up the idea that he really was our president during that time. At first, it was an easy sell. The guy already had such a history of incompetence that all signs did seem to point to him running the Oval Office. It was being run the way we would have expected Joe Biden to run it. But then in time, watching him on TV, it became quite apparent that he could barely string three words together or walk 5 feet. So now there's an investigation going on by the GOP to see who really was making decisions for our country these past 4 years. Well, be of good cheer. Maybe all the time and effort isn't necessary because Biden has settled the matter. Joe Biden insists he made all decisions coming from the White House himself. He honestly signed everything put before him, everything with his name on it. He personally signed. He's given us his guarantee. Of course, that's assuming he even remembers what policies we're talking about. Either way, with or without a brain, the guy is a pathological liar, so perhaps his so-called reign should still be looked into. Speaking of reign, the word reign reminds us of the word king. Last Saturday, while Washington, at the suggestion of President Trump, celebrated the 250th anniversary of America's Army, tracing its history from the Revolutionary War to present day with different period military costumes, leftists were organizing no king protests around the country. This was an objection to a military parade, yes. People were freaking out over a parade. A parade which, incidentally, was celebrating the fact that our Continental Army got rid of King George, and as a result, we are a country with no king. But of course, the Democrats were trying to show that Trump was acting like a king. Democrats have this uncanny ability to confuse their own actions for the actions of Trump. Well, actually, they're not confused. So, more correctly put, they're just hoping they can keep you confused. Now, let's all check our memories. When recently have we in the United States felt like we were living under a king? Well, those of us who live in blue states can recall a thing or two, like those stellar COVID regulations, closing businesses, closing churches, forcing people to wear masks that were about as effective as a Snickers bar curing cancer, forcing people to stay in their homes and not visit neighbors, setting up snitch lines so people can rat their neighbors out, sending police to the front door of a mother whose child was next door playing with a friend. You'd think she had murdered somebody the way the policeman was talking to her. Even arresting a surfer alone in the water, alone on the beach itself. That is, alone until the police showed up. And it continued after COVID. Under Democrats, somebody not elected to the office of president, has been running our country the last 4 years. Under Democrats, an attempt was made to take Trump off the ballot. Under Democrats, many attempts were made to put Trump in prison before that election. Under leftist judges, the will of the people is constantly overturned. Under these same judges, the constitutional role of our commander-in-chief gets usurped one case at a time. Sometimes they get overruled, but he keeps having to go through this. In leftist states, there's gender surgery on minors without notifying parents and removing kids from the custody of parents who find out and complain. And these people have the unmitigated gall to call Trump a king? Trump, who can't so much as sneeze without being taken to court? Try doing that with a real king. Try doing that in Somalia, the home of our warmest, kindest, most reasonable thinker in Congress, Ilhan Omar. She says that last Saturday's parade demonstrates that America is becoming one of the worst countries in the world. Yeah, sure. She was welcomed as a refugee. She was given so much freedom and opportunity. She got elected to our Congress. But America is one of the worst countries in the world. The real problem is that Ilhan does not share the values of America. She has spoken before CARE, downplaying the significance of 9/11. CARE, Council for American Islamic Relations, a so-called peaceful organization that has ties to terrorism, who, no big surprise, sided with Hamas after they attacked Jewish families and children on October 7th. She hates Israel along with that other sweetheart in Congress, Rashida Tlaib. A woman with all the charm of a cobra on acid. They hate Israel, you see, because Israel doesn't play by the rules. The rules? Oh, don't you know the rules? They're very simple. Every single country in the world is allowed to defend itself against an attack, except Israel. And every nationality in the world is entitled to have its own country, except the Jews. Those are the rules. The rules of avid anti-Semites and the mindless idiots who join into campus riots without a clue as to what they are talking about. Naturally, it's hard to talk about Israel without talking about Iran these days. There's been a lot of debate about whether Israel should have attacked Iran and whether America should be helping Israel, about whether Iran is trying truly to develop a nuclear weapon. They are. They absolutely are. Perhaps well-intentioned people can debate about how close they are getting. But let me tell you something. Never mind the nuclear weapon. Israel had a right to attack Iran anyway. So does America. Iran was going to keep attacking Americans no matter what they did, whether they got involved or not. They've been doing it for decade after decade. 66 Americans at the embassy in Iran were held hostage for an entire year in 1979. Since then, Iranians keep chanting death to America. So that's going to become a stronger chant now that we're getting involved. They and their funded terrorist proxies have been attacking American embassies, American military bases, year after year after year. They also shout death to Israel. Iran proxy groups like Hezbollah and Hamas have been attacking Israel time and time again. These groups, all funded by Iran, the rapes and beheading of children and babies placed into ovens on October 7th, were done under the auspices of Iran. Israel should have bombed them long ago, nuclear weapon or no nuclear weapon. But guess who has offered to help? China! China says they're willing to negotiate a peace treaty between Iran and Israel. What a break for the world. China offering to broker a peace deal. That's like Emperor Hirohito negotiating a truce between the United States and Germany. It's like the wolf overseeing a contract between the three little pigs and the landlords of their houses. It's like Ilhan Omar personally escorting a Jewish student to class at Columbia University. And this radio show is like Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I love bringing in columnist Mike Friedenberg, who tries so hard to find something interesting in the news. Mike, I think they're building a post office in Mira Mesa that maybe we could talk about if you have nothing else on your mind today.
Well, before we get into some of the news of the day, I do want to mention a little bit local news. I was at Ralph's shopping. And I happened to be in the line where the manager was working, and I've seen some incidents at that shopping center with, you know, some of the employees confronting people stealing stuff there.
Oh, I thought you weren't allowed to do that in California.
Well, yeah. Anyway, I asked him, I said, well, how they were doing a shoplift, and he says it's really bad. People walk in there. He says, we have the security guard here only if somebody starts to go violent. The security guard does nothing to stop somebody walking out with whatever they want out of that store.
Well, with our jackass governor, is it any wonder?
Oh, that was just a local news story.
Well,
but
I'm glad you found something.
And, of course, there's other things of lesser importance, like nuclear war and like things of that nature.
Yes.
Anyway, obviously the big news is the strike yesterday, really, within the last 24 hours, on several key nuclear weapons facilities in Iran.
Well, that was the fastest 2 weeks I'd ever seen when Trump told me they had
I believe he said technically within 2 weeks.
He said within 2 weeks, and then it was just hours before the strike where he was at a press conference again, or he was on the tarmac, and he says, well, 2 weeks is the maximum. Boy, was it ever.
So there's plenty to talk about that. We'll talk about what is the nuclear weapons program in Iran. By the way, there is a nuclear weapons program. There's no doubt.
Okay. There's no doubt. There was only question as to how far along they were, whether they had yet built the missile to deliver it. But the enrichment, there was no doubt about
We'll talk about effectiveness or potential effectiveness of the strikes we just conducted using our biggest, most powerful bunker busters. And there's a number of things we're going to talk about. But before I talk about that, I do want to talk about the coalition, the MAGA coalition that won the election.
Yeah, they're kind of splintered over this.
Well, there's potential. There's a lot of people in the coalition that voted for Trump. And it's a certain percentage of what I call the Trump-only voters. These are the people that only turn out to vote for Trump. And they absolutely, positively have zero trust in our government when it comes to doing anything military, any involvement, any place, anywhere. And I can empathize with them. Our government has been, maybe let's say, since World War II, with the exception of Ronald Reagan winning the Cold War, partnership with Helmut Kohl and Thatcher, we've had a miserable, miserable record on involvement in wars, involvement with regime change, you know, disastrous regime change, including the disastrous regime change in 1953, where we overthrew the legitimately elected Democrat government of Iran, paving the way for anger and hostility that led to the Islamists taking over the government.
Do you think they can maybe explain to their constituents, though, that there's a difference between taking care of a threat and nation building? Because Trump's been very big on, although he recently put out a tweet, today saying, what's really wrong with it?
Well,
now, he didn't say nation building, but he said regime change. change.
Listen, I believe that Trump has doing enough good stuff. We can talk a little bit about that. That he's got a reservoir, a bit of a reservoir there. That as long as we stick to some very discreet airstrikes and we don't cross over to troops on the ground.
I think his people will be fine with that. But then when he thinks out loud without a filter and says, well, come to think of it, maybe there should be a regime change. And he may not mean anything other than that the people can overthrow themselves. But he doesn't clarify that when he tweets, and he should.
But we need to keep this coalition together. And that means that we need to extend some grace to people that are in the coalition that we don't agree with. But not
Tom Massie, who votes against the Republicans every time on everything.
Okay, yeah. But with the exception of Tom Massie, the Tom Massie exception.
Okay.
On this. Okay. We'll call it the Tom Massie exception. Okay.
Only if you want to, Mike. If you like Tom Massie, go ahead and defend him. It's up to you.
Yeah, I'm okay with the Tom Massie exception. So we have to extend some compassion and some accommodation because we do have a very diverse coalition. And a lot of them, no matter what, whether you say, no matter how reasonable or no matter how good the arguments or how much evidence could be presented, they're not going to believe anything the government tells them what's going on. For example, they do not believe.
But if they're Trump-only people, do they at least believe what Trump is telling them?
They're willing to give Trump a little bit of credence on that.
They probably don't trust the intelligence community.
But they don't trust the intelligence community. And speaking of the intelligence community.
Well, the intelligence community betrayed Trump the last time he was in office.
Well, yes.
So they've got good reason.
The intelligence community is not what I would call a tremendously reliable source of information. I don't think they've been reliable on their whole description of what's happening in the Ukraine-Russia war. Tulsi Gabbard, and let's be fair, we have put a few key people into these key positions within the intelligence community, but 90% of it is still Obama people, Biden people. I mean, when Trump in his first term, he had no power to get rid of the bad people. He was barely able to hang on into his office. So really, the intelligence committee there is not.
Now, Gabbard has come back and said she was taken out of context.
Well, she was.
She was saying, I went back and looked at it in context. She was saying that the enrichment was a problem. She just said that it didn't look like they had any plans to build a weapon out of it yet. So I don't think those were incompatible statements.
No, I don't think so, too. And that's what I was going to say. I think you can reconcile them. I think what Trump's looking at is when you're spending billions of dollars over decades to build up nuclear enrichment to the level it can only use before weapons. Let's be really clear.
Yeah, which they don't even need for their power since most of their power is done by gasoline and oil anyway.
But let's just say for some reason they were embracing the green agenda, wanted green energy and wanted nuclear power. Nuclear power enriched uranium is only 3.7 to 5%. So when you get to 20%, and there are some experimental reactors that will use 20% enriched uranium or maybe up to that. But when you get to 20%, you're well into enriching for weapons.
And they're screaming death to America. They're screaming death to Israel. And it's not like during the Cold War where there was this mutually assured destruction, so nobody wanted to use the nuclear weapons. These guys, these Ayatollahs, would be delighted to die in battle so they can go to paradise and have 70 virgins. So it really stretches credulity to think that this wasn't their plan.
Well, and of course, there is the belief that there's a fatwa issued by the Ayatollah against building nuclear weapons. He did say something that they're forbidden. However, I did research it and found that it's not considered necessarily to be one of his legal pronouncements. But France and Obama and other people grabbed onto this and said, well, if the Ayatollah says there can't be nuclear weapons, then they don't have a nuclear weapon.
Oh, there's somebody's word you can take to the bank.
Right. And even if he thought there was, he could change it at the last minute. And actually, as of just recently, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard has been petitioning him saying, hey, we need to build nuclear weapons.
So, Mike, do you think Trump needed to check with Congress regarding this covert mission that we just had and had them discuss it for 6 months first?
I think that would
have made it more in line with the Constitution?
I think if we informed Congress before the mission, it wouldn't have been a covert mission.
It wouldn't have been covert 5 minutes after they were informed, not to mention it would take them 6 months to make a decision about it. It's insane.
Anyway, back to the point. I hope that the people that are really concerned about this, and I am concerned, but I never had any illusions.
I don't want to see us get into a war over there.
I mean, I am really opposed to the things we've been doing. Many of the things. We made huge mistakes in Vietnam. We've been an utter disaster, what we've done in Ukraine. That's been an utter disaster. Afghanistan was an utter disaster.
Now, see, my feeling, though, is going to Afghanistan and toppling the Taliban was fine. Going to Iraq and toppling Saddam Hussein was fine. But we should have just left and said, okay, this is your country. We've eliminated our threat. The idea of hanging around and trying to build them into a democracy. That's where we've made our biggest mistake.
The quagmires, we temporarily got rid of some of the people from the Taliban.
We should have gotten rid of maybe all of them, but they had to be
punished.
Had to be punished for 9/11. We had to do something.
Well, they didn't.
Okay. That doesn't mean we had to stay there for 10 years afterwards.
I
agree with that.
I don't believe Saddam Hussein was involved with the 9/11 attacks.
He congratulated them the day after.
And it doesn't matter. I don't see the evidence that he was involved. There's some people that believe there was evidence. You know, you had somebody who showed that there were WMDs. But even if the WMDs were there, they were going to be used against Iran.
Yeah, I'm going to probably replay that. That was a number of years ago. And he said that they did have them, but they were weapons that we had sold them to use against Iran. And when we discovered that the ones we were talking about were ones that we sold them, then they changed. So he still agreed that Bush lied, but he disagreed on which lie it was.
And by going in there toppling him, we created a big mess in the Middle East. It stabilized. Well,
again, I think staying and trying to start a democracy after toppling him, I agree with you about that.
I don't even think that it's going there made any sense. I don't think it accomplished anything positive.
I think those things make sense if we just move on, just get rid of the threat, move on. No nation building, no regime change.
Well, I agree with that for sure.
That's the part we agree on.
But regardless, I don't think our Middle East policy has been very effective at all. So going back to this whole issue here, did they have a nuclear weapons program? I believe they do have a nuclear weapons program. I believe that they had plans in place, how fast they could actually take the gaseous enriched uranium and refine it and turn it into metal and shape it so that it's the right shapes to create nuclear bombs, and then to have the right very precision machining and all the kind of stuff that goes together to do it. How fast they could do that, I don't know.
We may not know, but I think it's a valid argument that we shouldn't have to wait around and find out, because right. Once they've got it, they've got it.
And that's right. But the point is, they have a nuclear weapons program. I believe they have plans. They have plans somewhere. If they don't, they're idiots of how to create one.
And we're not sure we've gotten rid of all of it from this last attack.
Well, but let's talk about that. Prior to the attacks, I had spent quite a few days and many, many hours researching the facilities, particularly the Fort Dow facility, and also researching the effectiveness of the
bunker buster,
the GBU 57 bunker buster bombs. And I had come to the conclusion that if we're talking about dropping a single bomb on that facility, there was zero chance of it doing anything.
Well, but they dropped about 12, so it wasn't a single bomb.
Well, that, and I had also come to the conclusion there was a chance, not a guarantee, but there was a chance that they used multiple GBUs, they might be able to damage or destroy the facility.
Right.
So I'm glad that they did use multiple, and initially they came out with reports that were all over the place, but now it looks like they used 12 GBU 57s on that one facility.
Just that one, and then others.
And the other two were used on Natanz.
Right.
So 12 starts to make me a little more optimistic that they could have actually done some damage, but not guaranteed. Let's just take a look at it. Those bombs are designed.
How will we be able to verify that?
That's a good question. It's going to take a while. But there's no way that nobody in the Pentagon, nobody with satellites, even Donald Trump, cannot verify what damage was done yet.
But it is interesting that Iran was never willing to let anybody go down into those things ahead of time and inspect them. So wouldn't that tell us something right there?
Well, it tells us what we already know, that they had a nuclear weapons program there, and they didn't want people to see it.
Right, exactly.
And in fact, one of the nuclear inspectors of the International Atomic Energy Commission had done environmental sampling that showed the nuclear enrichment was beyond 60%, but that there was signs that it had reached 83.7% enrichment. Now, people keep talking about 90% as this magical number of weapons grade uranium.
Apparently, however, it doesn't have to get that high.
The two nuclear bombs that wiped out Hiroshima and Nagasaki were done at 80% weapons grade enrichment. So 80% is certainly enough to do it. And by the way, something I was surprised about, I didn't know this, is that enriching uranium from 0 to 20% is a lot harder and takes more time than enriching uranium from 60% to 90%. That's sort of counterintuitive to me. I was surprised. It's because of the way uranium works, the uranium-238, which is heavier than U-235, and the way centrifuges works, it just turns out it's that way. So they can go from 60% to 90% pretty quickly.
So what's your opinion of President Trump making this decision at this time?
It all depends what the long-term game is and what his goal is.
I think he's pretty transparent. I think his long-term game is he really would like to make a deal, and he's very frustrated when they won't.
But
I'm a little critical of that. He thinks he can make a deal with everybody. He's probably the best deal maker in the world, but you can't make a deal with terrorists.
Right.
But I do think he's being honest when he says, just as far as his integrity goes,
I am concerned.
And sincerity, I think he really wants that deal more than anything.
Concerned about the advice he gets from the experts around him.
Yeah.
I mean, because
you think there's experts that are trying to drag us into a bigger war?
Well, certainly there's people.
Well, there's people like Lindsey Graham that would like to see that.
Or even like Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
People like that.
And then there's people like Rand Paul who probably didn't agree that we should even try to just take out their uranium and move on.
Let's just put it this way. If I thought that a strike like this
was all he wanted to do.
Well, no, that would take out Iran's nuclear program, I would be all for it beyond any doubt.
But even if it didn't succeed, it at least shows people in the world that he's serious when he says you should come to the table and make a deal. I think there's that
and
benefit,
that's,
too.
And that's worth discussing because it does show he's serious.
Okay, we'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Mike Friedenberg. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So before we can do that, by the way, I do agree that Iran is not our friend. They are our enemy. So this is not like we're attacking some neutral nation.
They have declared war on our country time and time again.
It's not like we attach some hapless.
Well, and when Congress says the president only has those emergency powers if they've declared war or attacked, they've attacked us, they've declared war, they've tried to assassinate our president. He is within his bounds to do it. Obama and Clinton bombed countries for far less than what Trump did.
And I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I'm not as certain that they would be willing using it willy-nilly, as maybe you are. But having it, I still don't want them to have
it. Well, even so, it would give them an awful lot of leverage.
Oh, it would. It would. I think there's a very good chance they would use it much like North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
Well, what I'm saying is they wouldn't have this, oh, if we use it, someone will use it on us. They wouldn't have that fear because of their Muslim ideology.
Yeah, right. And that's something that's, to me, that's a little bit of an unknown. I think a lot of them actually, when push comes to shove in the wars we fought against them, have shown that they really value their lives when they run away, when things get tough. So I'm not so sure they're quite as committed to that ideology. Some of them are. Obviously, the ones that are the suicide bombers, but the ones in government, who knows? But regardless, I don't want them to have the bomb. So getting back to the idea of what Trump's strategy could be, yes, they were stonewalling him in those negotiations. And he doesn't like being stonewalled. So this basically says he's not going to be stonewalled. And he says we're going to continue striking other sites if the nuclear program still seems to be moving forward.
And they've responded so far only by continuing to bomb Israel, at least as of the last thing I've heard.
And I think there's even been some of them just saying that, well, we're going to continue. I'm not convinced we can stop them from getting a bomb short of sending in troops. That's my issue. That's my issue. We have the United States has got far too used to depending on air power, and it didn't work in Afghanistan. And I will say this, the people that like forever wars are jumping up and down for joy over this action by Trump. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Because they're assuming it'll lead to that.
No, but also, no matter what, they would love to see us just bomb the living daylights out of Iran. That's billions and billions of dollars coming in the door with very little chance of U.S. suffering casualties. We did that in Afghanistan. We dropped bombs on caves and tunnels. Billions and billions of dollars in caves and tunnels that did very little to kill the Taliban. And then as soon as we left the Taliban, they lied about how well we were doing in Afghanistan. They flat out lied about it. They lied in Vietnam. The military industrial complex lied about Korea. Really, when it comes to war, one of the first casualties of war, the first casualty of war is the truth. And I don't actually, listen, I trust Benjamin Netanyahu.
And you probably trust Trump, but you may not always trust the intelligence apparatus around him.
I mean, I think he's a very smart guy.
I think he's brought in better people now than he had the first time.
Now, but
I think
still
he's learned.
But he still has some people like Pete Hegseth, as of 10 years ago or whatever, was still one of those people that wanted the forever war. And he was much closer to the neocons than, I think he's changed.
I think Pete Hegseth is going to do what the president wants. I don't think he's going to be subversive like the people
and
in his last administration.
Honestly, probably has changed too. But let's just say that Tucker Carlson had an interview with Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz, I mean, it's just kind of amazing. I really like Ted Cruz. He's very smart, but I don't agree with him with this view on foreign policy because it's very blind and ignores so many facts.
Well, wars have to have a goal and an end game in mind. If they're indefinite, that's where the problem
is. So one of my concerns is that I'm not sure whether we can do it. Now, let's get back to talk a little bit about the strike, though. I am a little more optimistic that we damaged the Fort Al facility. There's the potential we did. We were talking beforehand that there was some reports that materials are starting to be moved out of there and distributed to other locations. We don't know how much of that was done.
That's always a possibility that we have to consider.
It is a possibility, but here's the way. It was very interesting. They have some satellite footage now of the Fort Al facility, and it shows two clusters of three holes, very neat holes. And when I saw that, I said, well, that meant they used six. I thought maybe they'd use six on Fort Al and maybe six on Natanz and maybe two on Isabah. However, though, it now turns out they used 12, yet I'm seeing only six holes. They used six bombers, right, six B-2s to deliver those 12 bombs. And it made me think now that perhaps they had developed, secretly, they developed a technology that allows them to launch two bombs simultaneously from the B-2s, where they have a following technology where they literally follow each other in, if separated, in order to get it close enough to get a bomb literally down the shaft of the falling bomb. You could not do that if you launched them separately, but if you launched them close together, they literally one followed the other in. This is pure speculation, but somehow they did it, which is an amazing technical feat. And that actually increases the chances, I think, of getting through that feat. But let's just start off with just what a formidable challenge it was. They're 260 to 300 feet below in hard sedimentary rock, including dolomite. Dolomite has a structural strength of anywhere from 15,000 PSI to 32,000 PSI. Now, for reference, when you talk about the GBU-57 bomb, it's designed to get through 200 feet of 5,000 PSI concrete. But if you increase that concrete strength to 10,000 PSI, its ability to penetrate the 10,000 PSI concrete goes from 200 feet to just 26 feet. So doubling the strength of the material cuts the ability to penetrate the material by about a factor of eight. So if you have dolomite in there that was at 35,000 PSI or even 15,000 PSI, and those bombs hit it, they would be stopped dead. They wouldn't go anywhere. However, if it wasn't very thick and you had multiple bombs hitting in the same area, then what the idea is that they'll start to shatter this very hard material, which is brittle, start to shatter it, and the explosions will also send shockwaves in. And with that shattered material, you know, loose material, then the falling bombs can, you know, plow through the loose material and get lower. So it's sort of effectively you're drilling.
Now, they
your
way said
down
it was
deeper.
A success. How are they able to verify that, or are they just being optimistic?
Basically, they had that press release written before the bombing routine. It doesn't matter what happened.
Is there a way that they could have verified
no.
its success?
No.
You don't
In fact,
think so?
In the press conference this morning, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said we're still doing battle damage assessments. We don't know the results
okay.
yet. So Trump
maybe,
said
maybe, well, when he said it was successful, he might have meant we carried it out. None of our fighters were shot upon.
And actually, I do thank you for bringing that up because what Trump said and what other people said is true. No other country in the world could have executed an operation like this. Not even close.
It was a successful operation, but we're still going to look at what the damage was. So those, again, are compatible
Nobody
statements.
Else has a B-2 bomber. Nobody else has bunker busters like we have. And the coordination of 125 planes, the logistics to pull this off was an incredible feat. So the operation was done very successfully. The only question is going into the operation, they don't know the exact geology of the 260 feet that's going to be between the bomb and the bunkers. I mean, if there's a huge, thick slab of dolomite there, operation's over. They don't know that.
On this subject, I was hearing some news on my way over to the station that our own intelligence is claiming that perhaps the uranium was not even there anymore. Now, how would they, if we can't verify what damage we would do, how would they know that? How would they have known that?
Well, one thing, remember, we couldn't verify the damage being done to the tunnels and caves in Afghanistan, and they weren't nearly as substantial. Because it's outside.
Right, but if that's true, then why would they be so sure that they had no uranium all of a sudden?
There was signs and chatter about transports being used to move stuff out of the facility.
Okay, but they're not basing that on any kind of on-location study of the site.
Maybe, for example, they saw certain types of transports that they said were exiting from one of the main...
Okay, but that wouldn't tell them how much of it had been taken out.
No, and they don't. And I don't think they claim they know how much is left.
Okay.
However, with 12 GBU-57s hitting it, I think it's possible they did damage it.
Yeah.
But going into it, I didn't
think... And if it had to be put somewhere else, it's somewhere that's certainly not as secure as those places
And it was
were.
The smart thing to do because they had a limited number. We actually used probably 70% of our entire stockpile of these bunker busters was used in this one operation. There's only 20 that were known to be built. So we used 14, that's 70%. But they used, by going and concentrating the vast majority of them on one site, they maximized the chances of getting some results. Now, the Natanz is also potentially very deeply buried, and they dropped two bombs there, but maybe there's parts of it that aren't as deeply buried that they went after because there's different levels there. And then the other site, the Isabah, I think, site, they just hit with 24 Tomahawk missiles, and that destroyed the facilities on the surface. Certainly did a lot of damage. So it was well executed. It might have damaged the Fort Alpha site, and it could have done some damage in Natanz, but it's going to take a while for us to know. But I will just warn people, and I actually agree with, in the middle of these kind of operations, the job of the military there is not to convey 100% accurate information to the public. Their job is to help keep up the morale of your allies. They're not always very accurate about any kind of operation. It's not going to always be very accurate because imagine if you're fighting a war and you're accurately reporting every little loss. You don't want that. That could gut your effort to even maintain the war effort. So you have to balance it.
I agree. Morale and optimism. Okay. I'm very optimistic about the fact that we will be right back.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here's another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Okay, so going forward, I hope we can limit it to very, very limited airstrikes.
On that, we completely agree.
But I am going to say that I am not real confident that airstrikes can stop Iran's nuclear program. And I'll just say that.
Well, so, even if we took out every bit of nuclear energy that they had, we're going to change administrations someday and then it could start again. So I don't think anybody's talking about forever, yeah, but if we could at least put it off, that's something.
And if we can, and
we get some idiot Democrat president again and all bets are off again.
Exactly. Well, that's a very good point. But even in the next couple of years, if they moved a significant amount of that material out and they have some alternative sites, I mean, I know the Mossad's very good. So maybe the Mossad has everything already wired and they can't do anything about without the Mossad knowing about it. But if they don't, they may have some facilities where they can start to do things. So I'm a little concerned about that. So what happens if we reach the conclusion, gosh, we can't take out their program with weapons? Well, then I think that if Israel's really concerned about it, then maybe they should go in with troops.
Well, Israel going in is another story. Their very survival is on the line. Not that they haven't attacked America and not that they haven't provoked us, but Israel does have a right to go in there, wage a ground war, do anything they want. They're practically
the
next
door
neighbor.
And I'd be fine with providing support for that, but I don't want us troops in there. But let's just say, if Israel is so convinced they have nuclear weapons, then they ought to go in there with ground troops.
What if Israel went in and we committed to supplying them with a 5-year supply of matzo ball soup while they did it? Would that work?
Yes, and I also...
But no gefilte fish. I can't stand gefilte fish.
All the kosher foods that they need, all that kind of stuff. But no, but seriously, if Netanyahu truly believes they're this far away, these airstrikes aren't going to stop them from moving forward, this is probably their best time to potentially go in while Trump's there.
Honestly, I think Israel saw this as a victory when they were able to go ahead and attack and Trump had given them the green light instead of stopping them, so, like Biden did. So just turning Israel loose, that might just be enough.
Yeah, and then if they go in there, they'd have to blow up the doors to plow their way inside these facilities. They're probably very heavy, but they could be done. And then they can see what's there and all that stuff. So
they've done quite a bit on the ground in terms of recognizance anyway.
Well, they have, right. They actually had, obviously, they had in-country
just
resources.
Let them program some more pagers and cell phones.
They had plenty of drones pre-planted beforehand. They were deep inside of Iran that they activated to go do the attacks when they did their attacks. I mean, Israel's got a very competent military, and they say they have achieved complete air superiority. Now, I'm a little dubious about that, but if they have, then this is an ideal time for them so they can go in with ground attacks with complete air superiority. That is such a huge advantage.
The reason I think they're telling the truth is nothing they've done has been shot down this last week and a half. Iran has done missile attacks the next day, but while they're over there bombing them, nothing's happening.
The other theory is, and this is one you have to dig under the rocks to find because it goes against the narrative, is that most of the attacks have been missiles, drones, and their bombs and their fighters going to the edge of Iraqi airspace or very narrowly into Iraqi airspace and launching long-distance weapons. That's the other theory, and to avoid being shot down.
Well, maybe, but whatever they're doing, it seems to be
right,
working.
Right, but let's just say that we take them at their word and that they do have air superiority. This is an ideal time for them to go in there. And the U.S. does not, other than providing ammunition and things like that, we've been selling them weapons, they are your allies, then we could continue to do that. And if that's really what they believe, that's what they probably should do. But I don't want us to get involved with years and years
I think just turning Israel loose to do what they want to do and need to do might be the best solution all the way around.
And I don't want years and years. Now, the other thing I'm a little worried about is Israel would love, Benjamin Netanyahu would love to have U.S. forces alongside.
Well, I don't think Trump should take that bait. And I say that as a Zionist.
And there are fanatical people in Israel. And so I also would be a little bit concerned. I mean, this sounds radical, but a false flag operation conducted by some crazy Israelis that targets U.S. citizens. They have crazies everywhere.
But if they did that,
that would be the one thing that would probably force Trump into ground forces. But I don't want our ground forces in there. And even if there was a modest terrorist attack, I don't know, I still might not support sending ground forces in there because I'd be very highly skeptical at this time of anything that's happening. My faith in our government is very low.
No, I agree. I don't want to see any American ground forces. I don't have a problem with Israel doing it because they're in a position where they may just have no other choice. We have some choice.
So anyway, that's it. Let's kind of go back here. And just to remind everybody that may not be happy about these attacks is just the blessing that Donald Trump has been and just how much better having Donald Trump there is than the alternative. First of all,
Well, now, wait a minute. Biden said don't, and that carried a lot of weight, don't you think, Mike?
Yes.
I have one word for you, don't. They were just shivering all over the world when he said that.
The number one thing that let's not forget is Kamala Harris is not president.
I know. Gosh, we really should thank God every single
day. And nobody but Trump could have done that. I'm convinced she could have beat other Republicans.
She would have come and given a report and giggled about what they talked about.
But I'm saying is it was a substantial victory, but it wasn't so big. We needed those Trump voters. We needed everybody in that coalition to defeat her.
Yeah.
Another Republican could not have gotten that.
And these people can't turn on Trump during the midterms,
right,
or all he's going to be doing is fighting impeachment.
Inflation is down. It's down. We had nearly 20% growth in cost of living.
Our border is secure.
Yeah. In May of 2024, they had over 100,000 people come across the border, illegals, and they released 62,000 illegals back into our country in May of 2024. There was zero illegals released back into the population in 2025, and it was down by 93%. So it was down to 8,000 people trying to cross in this country illegally. So let's look at that. Los Angeles didn't burn down. That's because I don't think even another president, another Republican president, would have the guts to activate the National Guard to go in there and to shut down these riots.
I am getting concerned about, I understand that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned what the lower judge said. I am just waiting. The Democrats that are talking about impeaching Trump over the bomb strike against Iran, they're going to try to impeach him. They're not going to succeed. They don't have the votes. They're going to go to judges. Are we going to have a judge tell Trump whether he can bomb Iran anymore or not, Mike? I am convinced we are.
I think if they do that, I think he may just actually, there'll be a point where
he may just have to say, I do not recognize your authority to tell me that, and let things go as they do.
And then, but it's just another thing. For example, Ashley Babbitt, I always felt that that investigation was a railroad job. It wasn't real. The killing of that Air Force veteran at January 6th, Ashley Babbitt.
That was the only real casualty we had, and it was on somebody from Trump's side.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that no other president, including other Republicans, would have the guts to do that Trump is doing. So let's keep that in mind, all the good things that are happening. And if you happen to disagree with him on elements of what's happening right now, just remember that we could be so much worse off with anybody
Trumpers
else.
Who aren't used to voting in the midterms, you've got to go and vote as if you're voting for Trump, or they're going to impeach him again. They'll impeach him if they found out he cheated at cards when he was in the ninth grade. Okay, this is Bob Siegel and Mike Friedenberg. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.